Well, good morning all. Let me just pray as we start this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your scriptures. We now pray as we open up your word today that you'll be teaching us, guiding us, and most importantly, changing us. We now ask that you remove all distractions from us now so that we can hear you clearly this morning. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Well, in his acceptance speech for his Oscar for Best Documentary in 2003, filmmaker Michael Moore said the following statement: "Shame on you, Mr. Bush. Shame on you." Now, one may ask, what would make an award-winning filmmaker condemn the President of the United States with such harsh words during his acceptance speech for an Oscar? Well, before Moore said, "Shame on you, Mr. Bush," he said a number of other key things in his acceptance speech. He said, "We live in a time where we have factitious election results that elect a factitious president. We live in a time where we have a man sending us to war for factitious reasons." And he concluded his speech by saying, "We are against this war, Mr. Bush. Shame on you, Mr. Bush." Now, Moore is, of course, talking about the United States invasion of Iraq in 2003. He is calling out the president for what he thought was a leader abusing his power, sending innocent men and women to die for a poor cause. Well, when we turn to our passage from Ezekiel this morning, we see a similar thing taking place, don't we? But instead of seeing an award-winning filmmaker calling out a world leader, we see God himself calling out the leaders of Israel. For we read at the beginning of our chapter, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of their flock?" Now, to get a full understanding of this imagery that is being portrayed here, we need to step back into the shoes of the people who lived in the time when Ezekiel wrote this letter, some 2,500 years ago, into a farming community. Now, there's no tractors, there's no other machineries in sight, there's no helicopters or motorbikes to help round up the livestock. Instead, you had shepherds who would literally live with their flock. They would live out in the fields night and day, summer and winter, taking them from pasture to pasture, caring for their sheep. They would know each of the sheep under their care, more than likely by name. And they would defend these sheep with their lives from the predators such as lions, bears, and wolves. They took great care to ensure the safety of their sheep under their care. And this was the imagery that the leaders were to have over the people of Israel. The kings were meant to care for their sheep under their care. So you can start to understand why God is very angry and he condemns them, basically saying, "Shame on you, woe to you, you shepherds of Israel." Their job was to care for the people under their care. But instead of caring for them, they just took care of themselves. They got fat. They got rich. They did not care for their sheep. They just looked after their own interests. Well, God has had enough of it. And in verse 3 and onwards, he outlines the leaders' crimes of commission, i.e. the crimes that the leaders have committed against their people, as well as their crimes of omission, i.e. the neglect that the leaders had shown in not caring for their sheep. For he says, "You eat the curd, you clothe yourselves with wool, and you slaughter the choice animal, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the stray or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." See, instead of putting the needs of the sheep before their own, the leaders just took care of themselves. Now, it'd be kind of like Leonie and I just coming home from hospital with young Sophia up there and just failing to care for her. Now, instead of getting up every 3 hours to feed her overnight and 2 hours during the day, we just said, "Nah, we're going to take care of ourselves. We're going to have 10 hours of sleep. It's going to be great." Or instead of dressing her in warm clothes and making sure that she's toasty warm, we just say, "Nah, I'm going to take all her clothes, the tiny little clothes, and use them as mittens, and you know, put some blankets over me so that I'm toasty warm." Now, that sounds absurd, doesn't it? No one's going to do that. And if we did, I'm sure all of you here would say, "Shame on you." And I'm sure at least one or two of you are going to call the Department of Child Protection on us. And our children would be taken out of our care. Well, this is exactly the type of absurdity that the leaders of Israel are being charged with. They are completely neglecting their role as carers for the people. And we see in verse 5 that the people have been scattered throughout the world because of the neglect of the leaders. That's a pretty grim picture, isn't it? The leaders have failed to care for their sheep, and they have been scattered throughout the world. No one's gone searching for the sheep. Instead, the leaders are just taking care of themselves still. Well, in verse 10, we see a glimmer of hope. For we read, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and they will no longer be food for them." Well, the Lord then goes on to explain that he will do exactly what the shepherds had failed to do. He will gather his sheep from countries afar. He will feed them on good pastures. He will tend to his sheep. He will mend the injured and strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong will be destroyed. He will shepherd the flock with justice. Now, these last two points are interesting, aren't they? But the fat and the strong will be destroyed, and he will shepherd his flock with justice. They point out that it's not only the leaders of Israel who are neglecting and exploiting the sheep, but it's also some from among the population who are harming their fellow Israelites, taking advantage of them. Instead of caring and helping the weak and the poor, they mistreat them and abuse them with their strength. Well, they too are warned of God's judgment upon them. For we read in verse 20, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until they are driven away, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Now again, in this final warning here, we see God's grace shining through. Amongst the judgment for the fellow sheep who are abusing their other fellow Israelites, we see God's rescue plan. "I will save my flock, and I will place over them my servant David, and he will tend them and be their shepherd." But who is this David figure? Is he the historical King David being resurrected back to life? Well, no, he's not. He is the promised Messiah. He is the one to come from the line of David. He is the one to rule on David's throne forever. He is the one who is to be prince among his people. The one to be God's servant. The one to be the one and true shepherd who would lay down his life willingly for his sheep. The one who will bring peace. And this one is Jesus, the one true shepherd. You see, despite Israel's ongoing rebellion and despite our ongoing rebellion of God, God shows his grace and mercy in rescuing us through Jesus' death and resurrection. For Jesus says the following words in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired man is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attack and the flock are scattered. The man runs away because he is a hired man and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You see, Jesus is the true shepherd. The good shepherd, the one who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep, the one who has come to rescue us. Now, he hasn't come to rescue us from an invading force or a foreign power. Instead, he's come to rescue us from the power of sin. And unless we put our trust in what Jesus has done for us, then we have no chance of having life. For once again, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the one true shepherd who gives us access to life. Well, what does this passage from Ezekiel today teach us? What does it mean for us here some 2,500 years after it was written? Well, firstly, we've seen that Jesus is the one true good shepherd. The true shepherd who Ezekiel is prophesying about. And we've seen that we need to trust and believe in him alone for our deliverance. He is the one who will care for his sheep. He is the one who will take them to green pastures, who will mend and care for the flock. And secondly, we have seen that all leaders, as well as all sheep, all need to watch out that we are not misusing our gifts which God has given us for our own good. But instead, we need to listen to Paul's words that we had from Ephesians chapter 4 today. For in that reading, we have seen that we are all one body. We're united under Christ. We've all been given different gifts. And these gifts are not to be used for our own good. Instead, we read, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect a mature body in him who is the head, that is Christ. For in him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, each part doing its own work. So folks, if we are Christians, then we need to care for one another. We need to serve one another. And we need to do this in love. Just like we love our own body and we take care of our own body, well, we need to put our fellow believers, our fellow brothers and sisters, our fellow body members ahead of our own. We need to pray for each other. We need to show hospitality towards one another. We need to care for one another, support one another. For we are united in Christ, and we need to build each other up in love. For remember Jesus' words, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for these words to us today. Lord, we give you great praise that Jesus is the one true good shepherd, the one who has laid down his life for us, despite our ongoing rebellion of you. Lord, we pray that we would be modeling our own lives on Jesus' example of what it means to serve one another. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen.